This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, and that means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Big thanks to everybody listening to us on Spotify, by the way. They sent out their year in review today, and it's pretty awesome. The What the Puck has, we've put out 457 minutes of content just this year. We're in four countries over, like, we're in a lot more, but majority of our listeners are from four countries. The U.S., Canada, Slovakia is our top three. And we're in the top 25 of most followed podcasts. Pretty great stuff there. And what else has been pretty great is how the Caps have been playing this past week. Yeah, there was one bit of a clunker, but they looked really good in Vancouver on Tuesday night. Joining me to talk all about it, Coach Dan. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you feeling after Thanksgiving? You still in a bit of a food coma? Are you working out? And what's going on?
No, I don't eat like a ton in one sitting. At Vancouver, as I'm looking at the Caps lines from the game at Thanksgiving. You spread it out. You know, you snack a little bit, take a break, you have dinner, take a break, then you have some dessert, spread out the dinner a little bit. So I've got a pretty good plan. It was a good Thanksgiving. Got a good amount of food, which is always fun. Got my pumpkin pie.
Nice.
We talked about on last week's show, so yeah. always good. How was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was really good. I got to give a shout out to my friends that work the Skilligalee boat over here in Ocean City. I went up there and I got a pint of oysters to make some oyster stuffing, which turned out awesome. And then I got a dozen raw oysters, just eat them on the shell. And they treated me very well with those dozen oysters. I want to say it was more like two dozen oysters, but they were delicious. If you're ever looking for really fresh, literally off the boat seafood here in Ocean City, check out Skilligalee. Another place that we actually got Thanksgiving ordered from did not treat us so well. Pre-ordered our Thanksgiving meal. My family, we go out for Thanksgiving, but then we like cook on Black Friday. So we got like some pre-made stuff for Black Friday. This place, on Thanksgiving, we had a 3-hour wait to pick up our food that was pre-ordered. And then when we got back and looked at our pumpkin pie, two pieces were missing. So don't think I'll be going back to that place anytime soon. I'm not even going to mention their name. They don't even deserve any kind of press. But I will have to say, if you want fresh seafood, Skilligalee, they treat you right. They're big Caps fans. We talk about the Caps whenever I go pick up stuff. Go check them out. Coach Dan has a question.
Yes. You said two pieces were missing from your pie. Do you mean two slices?
Yes. Yes.
Okay,
two slices
so
were completely missing.
Were they? So the pie was pre-cut?
It was, yes. It was cut, yes.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I find that I'll be a little judgmental on their part in assuming they know what size slice you like.
Right.
But then also, were these decent-sized slices?
No, it's a tiny little pie. It was like a little 8-inch pie.
All right. So this is just all around, it sounds like it was a disappointing choice by them.
Yes, yes. And we will not be going back there.
Lots of poor decisions.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of, and I mean, it was just 3 hours and you pre-ordered your meal. Come on. I mean, you pre-order so you don't wait. You just go and pick it up. I mean,
that's the idea of a pre-order, right?
Yeah. So why are you making it right then and there and having us wait on Thanksgiving on a holiday for 3 hours in your establishment? Come on. Not cool. But Skilligalee, go with those guys. Those guys are awesome. Let's talk a little bit about the Caps here. That's what everyone in Slovakia wants to hear, is about the Caps and not about our American Thanksgiving. Caps have had a pretty good week. They looked really good in Vancouver. Let's talk about the last couple games in this past week. But it looks like, at least in Vancouver, this Western Canadian road trip starting off with a bang.
Yeah, I think when you go out and beat up on the Canucks, sorry, Phil, it's going to happen, but Caps doing pretty well lately. I mean, they're 3-1 since we last talked. They had wins over Philly in overtime, Calgary, and Vancouver. Well, they did have that loss in New Jersey, but It looks like they're, you know, they're turning the page a little bit here. They're doing a little bit better, but what we need to see is consistency. Now, we want to see that this Vancouver game is going to carry over into the next game against a Seattle team that apparently likes to score a lot of goals.
Right.
As they did against LA. But they also like to give up a lot of goals. So, solid defense by the Caps should see them do well against the Kraken. What is it, on Thursday?
Thursday night, yeah.
So, yeah. So, I think there's definitely there's an opportunity for them to do something here. I find it a little strange that all it took was TJ Oshie to come back, and that is not a slight against Timothy. It is simply a little strange that is this team that dysfunctional that they have to have him there to do well. Like, I don't understand that aspect, but it's great to see TJ Oshie back. I hope that he's healthy, and I hope they keep going with these wins because this team certainly needs it. I mean, right now in the standings, they're sixth in the Metro. They're only 1 point behind the Rangers for fifth, 3 points behind Pittsburgh, although they have played one more game than the Penguins. But they are well behind New Jersey, although so are a lot of people because they are just running away with the division right now. I mean, they are 15 points behind the Devils. But there is so much hockey left to play that, you know, there's still a lot of time for them to make up their standings points and to get higher in the standings to make sure they're getting that playoff spot. They are presently 3 points out of the last wild card spot. So, you know, they need to keep winning and hope that the other teams in their division keep losing.
I mean, we have talked about this. TJ Oshie being there, just being in the locker room is a huge presence. That's absolutely a must for this team. Should it be that he gets hurt and the whole world comes tumbling down? No, I think these guys should be a little bit more disciplined than that. But having TJ Oshie there on the ice during the game, but also in the locker room, obviously huge impact. Now, we did say that they had a bit of a rough patch over the weekend. And before this Vancouver game, it wasn't a little weird that Peter Laviolette decided that he was not going to change the lines up in any way after just a complete shellacking over the weekend against the Devils. I don't know. I mean, this is why I'm not a coach in the NHL, but I kind of feel like after getting beat up like that, you would change the lines up at least a little bit. But obviously, they did really well in Vancouver, so it didn't need a line jumble. What are your thoughts? Do you think it's the right move here? Is this something they can do long term, or is this just him being like, eh, it was one game. They had a bad night. It was during a holiday. Well, if it happens again, then we'll change things up. What do you think's going on in his head?
I'm not even going to try and get into the mind of an NHL coach. My head would explode with how much crap they probably have to deal with. But no, you know what? I'm okay with it because you have New Jersey Devils who are beating everybody right now. You've got, I mean, that was a game that they were more than likely to lose just based on the fact that this team hadn't been playing well and the Devils really had been.
Yeah.
And what I like about the fact that they didn't make any moves is it gets that consistency that I feel like this team needs. It gives players an opportunity to spend more time working together to gel. And I think that is what this team needs. I mean, I think with all of those injuries, you're constantly having people in and out of the lineup that it hasn't really had an opportunity, the lineup that it is, they haven't had an opportunity to gel and work well together. And I think giving them a couple of games, even if they struggle, to develop some consistency, to develop some familiarity, to develop a partnership amongst the three forwards on the ice at one point or the two defensemen, I think is really important. And so I like what I'm seeing. You know, the lines are a little, I still find it weird that Connor Sheary's on the first line, but hey, if it's working and he's scoring goals, it's fine with me. But you got Ovechkin, Strom, Sheary, Milano, Kuznetsov, Oshie, Marcus Johansson, Eller, Mantha, who's another guy we can discuss at some point as to why I think he might be on a tradable asset. And then Alexi Protas, Dowd, and Hathaway is that fourth line. Got a lot of minutes in Vancouver. You know, I like that they're giving an opportunity for everybody to gel a little bit. And I think that's what they should be doing. Even if they go out and don't do as well against Seattle, that doesn't mean you should immediately just be like, well, switch it up. You know, give them an opportunity to gel. And we've had that for a couple of games. Let's see how they do in Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy that we're going this far into the season, though. I mean, two months in, a quarter of the way through the season, and we're still in a let's see type of mode. Now, I know, like, losing Connor Brown is a huge effect on what they were going into, and, you know, other guys getting hurt, like Dmitry Orlov getting hurt and John Carlson going down. You know, it changes up a lot of things. But, I mean, we're by the time people hear this, it's going to be December. It's going to be the holiday season. So I don't know. I feel like certain players should really have broken through at this point. I feel like, I know that it's only a quarter of the way through, but I kind of feel like somebody here should really be showing off and taking the reins. Like you said, you've got Anthony Mantha on the third line. I mean, that's somebody you expect to maybe be a top line guy playing with Alex Ovechkin. Alexis Protas, he had a lot of buzz going on around him in the preseason and in training camp that he really showed off. Now you have him on the fourth line. I mean, that's fine. He's a fourth line guy. He earned that spot through training camp. But maybe you expect a little bit more from him, at least in either points or assists somewhere. So it's weird to me. I mean, in the Alex Ovechkin era of this team, there's been the young guns and there's been like that core. And right now we're not playing with that core. And it's weird that it's taking this long to figure things out. Now, I mean, if they continue what they did in Vancouver the rest of the season, hey, took you a little bit of time, but you figured it out. Cool. I'm not going to fight you on that. That's great. But it's just weird to see a team kind of struggle like this. I know there's been, you know, pre-OV era where things have been rough for as a Caps fan. But, you know, we've got a standard we live by now. And finding out what's going on in the regular season, we're not used to this.
Yeah, and it's been, especially over the last few, I mean, like you said, sort of as soon as they started making the playoffs of the Ovechkin era, the start of the Boudreaux era was really when we saw that this team can really do something. And, you know, it didn't result in Stanley Cups until 2018. But look at the lineup right now. I mean, I brought up Anthony Mantha. You did as well. 12 points in 24 games for a guy that's got a cap hit of 5.7 is a problem, because this is a team that needs cap space, and not having, you know, 5.7 million, you need to be producing more. You've got Kuznetsov, who's at 16 points in 23 games. You'd like to see that be a little higher, but also I'd like to see him shoot the puck a little bit more, because I think that, you know, I think he's a good goal scorer when he tries. But then you look at Connor Sheary, who's got one less point than Mantha, but his cap hit is not affecting the team in the same way. He's at 1.5. He's on the top line now, and hopefully he continues to produce. So, you know, I'm looking at what benefit do players bring to a roster versus what they cost, right? Every guy you bring in that costs a lot potentially takes up the spot of what two other players could do in terms of production or being on the roster. And so when you look at Anthony Mantha at 5.7, is he producing enough? If you look at someone like Lars Eller, he's got 8 points in 24 games for 3.5. Is he producing what he's being paid for in terms of the NHL, in terms of professional hockey? It's tough to say. Eller's third line, not quite as much an offensive guy. That's fine. But Mantha right now is the one that I'm a little concerned about. He's always been a streaky player, not like a Tomas Fleischmann type of streaky, but someone that doesn't, you know, he can go a bit cold and then he goes a bit hot. He's a big guy who doesn't necessarily use his body as much as he probably should. And I don't know, obviously, because I don't know him personally, or I'm not in the locker room. I don't know if he's doing that intentionally, if he doesn't like using his body to be as physical. But when he does, I feel like he actually is a better player and he's more productive. He's able to go out, you know, he's hitting more, he's producing more, he's causing more havoc for the other team. And I just feel like it's not the player that the Capitals were expecting or that they want or maybe need. And that could be a guy that they look to move on. He's out of contract. Oh, he's got one more year on his contract. I apologize. So he's got one more year. So if you want to move on from him, you know, trade is an option.
Now, do you think that the fact that Tom Wilson isn't out on the ice right now is affecting Anthony Mantha's game? Do you remember last year? I was a huge fan of that duo on the ice. It felt like it was the Bash Brothers all over again. Mantha and Wilson were just knocking people down, running people over. Do you think the fact that Tom Wilson is missing there is affecting Anthony Mantha's game? And could he be a different player when Tom Wilson comes back?
I mean, I think it would be affecting if they're on the same line when Wilson comes back. I mean, like you said, they did play well together last season, but that doesn't mean they're necessarily going to play well together this season. Ovechkin and Kuznetsov played really well together last season, and now it looks like it's Ovechkin and Dylan Strome. And so I think Wilson being back just helps everybody overall, because it allows for more consistency throughout the lineup. I really want to know, when Wilson comes back, if Beck Malmsteen comes back, if Backstrom plays, like, where's some of these players going? Because there's going to be a bunch of dudes that have been playing there going up in the press box. Like, I have to imagine, like, Snively probably goes back down. I don't know if he has to clear waivers. Who else? You know, what happens with Milano? I feel like, what's his stats at? I feel like he's been doing pretty well.
He's been kind of quiet recently.
Let's see. He's got 7 points in 12 games. That's not bad. He had 2 assists versus Calgary. He had a goal versus Philly. Nothing in the last 2 games. Oh, except for he got 2 penalty minutes. What'd you do? But, sorry. But, you know, I still like Milano. I think he should keep a spot when some of these guys come back. So the question is who goes up into the press box or who goes down to Hershey to make way. So that's, you know, there's some tough calls to make when these guys come back. But yeah, Wilson, he's probably the first one to come back. I think him or Beck Mallinson, they are likely to come back the quickest. And it will be interesting to see how that affects the lineup. Does Mallinson lose his spot if Protas is doing well? The Protas, I think they see more as an offensive player. Does Mallinson take that spot back and Protas goes back down to Hershey? Similar to Connor McMichael, I'd like to see him playing more often than not. And so putting him back in Hershey, I don't think necessarily is a bad thing. And it looks
he
like
seems
he's
to be doing all right in Hershey. McMichael.
I think Snively would go on waivers. So Protas, he can go down to waiver. He's waivers exempt. They could send him down to Hershey when a couple of these guys come back. And so that's certainly an option for this team right now. But I would, you know, I think that this team should be better than they have been playing. I think their standing spot right now in terms of not being as far behind some of these teams to get into a playoff spot is more luck than anything else, because it wasn't like they were like winning and then losing two and then winning and then losing two. Like, they were losing consistently. It just happened to be that everybody else sucked. And so they were able to stay close to these teams purely because no one else besides the Devils really ran away with it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens when Wilson comes back and if that helps out a guy like Anthony Mantha. I think it does to an extent, but I think it just helps the team overall because it allows them to develop more consistency.
Have we heard anything about Tom Wilson? Like, I heard December, maybe early January, he'd be coming back, but I haven't heard any updates recently.
Nothing recently. I think that's still the last thing that we saw. I think that's still the case, is that they're kind of have him on track for a December, like mid to late December, early January return.
Okay. Big news coming out of Vancouver was really awesome to watch, but Alex Ovechkin breaks Wayne Gretzky's road goal record up against his old coach, Bruce Boudreau, who, you know, ushered in Ovi's career there. Every game, it seems like Ovechkin's breaking another record at this point, but, you know, this is a biggie, breaking Gretzky, the great one's road goals total. That's pretty amazing.
I mean, you know, that is a statistic that it's going to be hard for any, maybe Connor McDavid, but it's going to be hard for anybody else to break that record anytime soon, to get to be the number one in the history of the National Hockey League with road goals. I mean, it's sort of one of those statistics that doesn't really come up very often, but, you know, his name will forever be in the record books as the number one player, a guy who played for the Washington Capitals. So Alex Ovechkin will be the highest road goal scorer of all time. He's, what, 8 away from 800 now?
Yeah.
Or is eight away from...
He's 8 away from Gordie Howe.
That's, yeah, 8 away from Gordie Howe. How many is he away from... Hold on.
Because I think he's at 793 at the moment.
So he's 7 away from 800 and 8 away from tying Gordie Howe.
I'm thinking by Christmas, we've got a new number 2.
That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 12 games?
He could do that in 12 games. No question.
I don't know. I mean, they're playing some teams. I was going to say some good teams. Somebody? Mid-January would be my guess. Early to mid-January, hopefully. You know, if he goes on a little hot streak, you could be right. Or the power play doesn't suck anymore. Then you could definitely be right in terms of it being by Christmas. I would think a little bit after, but that's just because I'm pessimistic.
You know what? I'm going to put a date on this, okay? December.
All right, you're going to put an exact date?
December 27th against the New York Rangers. He beats Gordie Howe's record on the 27th.
Okay. If I had to pick an exact date, let's go with... It would be funny if it was the 11th in Philly, just to rub it in Flyers in their face. But no, I'm going to go with May. What did I say before? Maybe the 8th at Sunday game in January against Columbus.
Okay. All right. He's great. He's the great eight. It's amazing what we're seeing. It really, really is. And the crazy thing is he's beating records right now. He's beating Gretzky's record. He's still got like maybe 3-4 years left, right? Like he could still, I mean, this goal total could tally up and become really just like just such an almost, I don't want to say an unbeatable, but like it's going to be very hard to attempt that record because Ovi, there's no sign of stopping.
I mean, so Gretzky's got 894. Ovechkin's got 3 years left on his deal. You know, he could. What's he got right now, goal wise? Where'd the stats one go? He's got 13 and 24. I mean, if he's producing at 40 goals a season over the next this season, next season, you know, the next this season and three after that. You know, does he go for 1,000? Does he come back to try and get there?
Yeah.
I mean, that's still a long way away. He's still got 207 goals to get there. But, you know, I would imagine the 2024-2025 season is when he's likely coming after Gretzky's record. Does he sign a new deal for a year or two and try and take that number even higher? I don't know, because I don't know if that's one that anyone's ever going to catch, even as good as Connor McDavid is.
Yeah. Well, it's a tall order there, Henrik Lapierre. Got big shoes to fill.
The new... Yeah, right.
Or Ivan Miroshnichenko or whatever your name is.
Miroshnichenko?
Yeah, sure.
I have no idea if I'm getting Miro, that. Right. I'm not even looking guy. At it. Mirosh.
All right, hey, anything else we should talk here in Caps World?
No, I mean, I think we covered a lot of good stuff, buddy. We got a nice little schedule in December. They got, what, 15 games? Am I looking at that right?
Yeah, I think it's 8 on the road, 7 at home, only 1 back-to-back. So, I mean, not a terrible
nice split.
Yeah, not a terrible schedule here for the holidays.
Yeah, they get a couple of days off. They have 3 days in between games right around Christmas, day before and day after. They play on New Year's Eve.
The whole league shuts down, right, for those 3 days.
I think so. There's a roster freeze. I don't know when the roster freeze happens. Let's look that up. So the it begins roster freeze on. No, that's 2008. That's not even close to what I just Googled. Thanks. Not at all helpful, guys. All right. Well, it freezes a freaking at some point. I don't know. It's probably right around Christmas. My guess would be like the 21st to the 28th or something, like that Wednesday to Wednesday or.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways.
Yeah, don't trade people around the holidays. Let them enjoy their families. Come on.
Just fire head coaches, apparently. So, has anyone been fired yet?
I don't think so.
I feel like it's usually by now at least one dude. That's pretty impressive. So, yeah, I think somewhere between the 21st and 28th, I would imagine that's the roster freeze, something like that, 20th to 27th, 22nd to 29th, whatever it is. You know, that's when teams can't really make trades anyways. So yeah, let's see how they do, but they have, you know, they finish up their road trip over the next couple of games and then not to jump ahead to the next segment and or not the next segment, your thing at the end. And then, they don't really have a great run of games at home. They only have three versus they keep going out on the road. That's annoying. And they're not even going like on the road nearby with the exception of Philly early in the month and the Rangers at the end. Everything else is a bit of a hike.
Yeah.
That's kind of annoying. But whatever. It'll be fine.
Hey, look at this. Axel Janssen-Fiala got on the score sheet this past Friday. Good for him.
Yeah.
He notched an assist and 2 shots on goal for the Jets.
He's got... That's still weird. He's got 6 points in... No, that's his career. Sorry. 2 points in 19 games. Let's check in on how Mr. Brett Leeson is doing. For a second, I was like, his first name is Brett, right?
With two T's.
All right, two points in 17 games. So, you know, still annoyed. That would have been nice depth to have. I liked having those guys on the roster. And yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah. All right, well, that's it for what's going on in Caps world. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Let's start in Hershey, where the Bears went 4-0 over the past week with wins over Springfield, Hartford twice, and Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Bears are currently second in the Atlantic Division with 28 points, one back of first-place Providence. They're back at it tonight, that being Wednesday, in Lehigh Valley before hosting Wilkes-Barre Scranton at the Giant Center on Sunday. They then host Charlotte on Tuesday. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 0-1-1 with both losses being to Atlanta. The rough week drops them to fourth in the South Division, 3 points behind first-place Florida. They'll be back at it on Thursday in Savannah before hosting Jacksonville on Friday at the North Charleston Coliseum. They then host Savannah on Saturday evening. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL and beyond. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff going on. Or is there? Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL and beyond?
Yeah, there's not a ton of news, but a little bit of scary news coming out of Pittsburgh, where defenseman Chris Letang, he is going to be out indefinitely after he suffered a stroke.
Oh,
this is actually the second stroke that he has suffered after he had one back in 2014. I believe I read he was out for 2 months after that first one. I don't like Penguins players, but I certainly don't wish this kind of harm coming them. You know, just minor injuries here and there. So I hope Letang comes back well and then, you know, ends up sucking at hockey for the rest of his career. But I hope that he's, you know, healthy and happy and just not a good hockey player. Dallas signed forward, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, Roope Hintz to an 8-year, $67.6 million deal, comes to a cap hit of $8.45 million for the 26-year-old. The Tempe, Arizona City Council voted 7-0 to advance the Coyotes' new arena plan to a public vote. The new $2.1 billion entertainment district project is described by the NHL as a win-win for the community. Now, the project includes a 16,000-seat arena, it's like 5,000-seat arena they're playing in right now, which is not up to NHL standards. Also, I have a practice rink, 2 hotels, retail shops, 1,600 apartments, a theater, and a sports book. Now, the Coyotes are estimating that the site will generate $13.1 billion over 30 years. City residents will vote on the project on May 16th, 2023. And with less than a month until the IIHF World Juniors, rumor has it that Team USA will announce their preliminary roster on December 5th and then hold a camp in mid-December at USA Hockey Arena. The American squad will be led by Quinnipiac University head coach Rand Pecknold, who is helming a U.S. national team for the first time in his career. That's the news for the past week in the NHL and beyond!
All right, guys, well, if you would like to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash, and you can tweet to Coach Dan where?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals-related stuff, as well as Arsenal Football Club, the Bills, the Commanders. Little annoyed we haven't heard any more information about selling the team, but I get it. It makes sense. People are doing their due diligence. They're getting information. It's coming up. Also on there talking about Arsenal Football Club, the Bills, the Commanders. A little surprised we haven't heard at least a little bit of more news about them selling the team. Thank God. Hopefully that actually does happen. But I think it makes sense. Like, people got to do their due diligence. We might be getting more news out of, it sounds like, Ted Leonsis, Capitals owner. He has a new super billionaire, some dude that's in, has a, getting a minor stake in Monumental. But there's last thing I read is that Leontis is the front runner to get the Nationals.
That's what I've heard.
So that just goes another thing towards his Monumental Sports Network, which I imagine we'll get at some point. That's how you'll watch Caps hockey. But he's got to be able to get the Nats out of the Masson deal and the, with the Orioles and all that that nonsense. But yeah, you can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we post when new shows are coming up, as well as all sorts of other things related to the Washington Capitals, Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, the Hershey Cubs, and other things related to the National Hockey League that Brandon thinks is funny. That's Facebook.com. He's nodding, everybody. Facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, I was talking about the Bills and the Commanders. God, their name is still stupid. They really need a better name. That was so poorly done. Anyways, as if they are a fan of a certain purple-clad team based out of Baltimore, is there a podcast they should listen to?
Yeah, you can check out my podcast called The Call. It's me and my buddy Josh talking all things Baltimore Ravens. On this week's episode, Josh actually had a conversation with Calais Campbell of the Baltimore Ravens, and super excited to share that with you guys. So definitely go check us out over on The Call. Dan, let me ask you, Thursday night football, how much money should I put on for a parlay for the Bills to win on Thursday up against the New England Patriots?
Yeah, I'm superstitious when it comes to sports, so I ain't saying a thing.
Come on, man. Give me some insider info here. I don't know the Bills. I don't know the Patriots. And I got, I think, a $25 free bet that I have to use by tomorrow. So you got to help me out here.
Bills have had some illness going through the team recently. So, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I have high hopes that they're not playing as well as they should. I mean, they've been able to squeak out some wins,
yeah,
but
join
they're
the
not
club.
Playing as well as they should. So, well, you guys look like you're going to need a new quarterback next year. So,
That backup in that backup for the Cowboys, he didn't look too shabby at the beginning.
Hey,
of the
let
year.
Me tell you, I'm pretty confident there's going to be a certain quarterback that's currently residing in the nation's capital, right in that area, that might become available. So, if you want to be the next team for Carson Wentz, have at it.
No. His career is over. He's done. He needs to go sit down. That's it. Anyway, check out my podcast called The Call. Now, if you enjoyed this show, make sure you give us a great little iTunes, Apple Podcast review. Rate us over on Spotify and let people know. Be social with the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok and Discord, anywhere you're social. Or Hive. Is anybody on Hive? I joined Hive.
I don't know what that is.
You guys into that one now? I heard that was supposed to be like the new Twitter. When Twitter leaves and gets shut down, Hive is going to be the new big one. So I'm on there too. Talk to me on Hive. I had to reserve that Brando Cash name. That's why I joined up so quickly. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Let's go over the games until we talk again. On Thursday, December 1st, the Capitals are in Seattle up against the Kraken. That game is at 10 o'clock Eastern time, and you can watch it on NBC Sports Washington. Then on Saturday, the Caps travel up to Calgary, the home of Bret the Hitman Hart, best wrestler ever. That game is at 10 o'clock at night. You can watch that on NBC Sports Washington. Then on Monday, December 5th, the Capitals are in Edmonton up against the Oilers. This one's at a little bit of a better time, 8:30. And that game
and is there,
on
we're getting closer.
Getting closer is on NBC Sports Washington. And then we'll be back with a new episode of What the Puck, talking all things Western Canadian road trip. Is it still a Western Canadian road trip if Seattle's in there now?
So, how about a... I don't really have
Western North American trip.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of works.
Yeah. All right. Hey, well, that's it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Cats.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.